Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone. This is Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. And by popular demand, mostly my popular demand, I'm having a gentleman come back to talk to us, David Tassone. As some of you might remember, he's a certified financial planner, and he started his own firm recently. So I want to get all the latest updates, and we're very excited to have him because he always has a lot of interesting things to share. So, David, are you there? Can you hear us? Over.
I am here. Thank you so much for having me back again, Carl.
Perfect. My pleasure. So you've started Solidi Wealth Advisors. So you've had a number of years in the financial planning industry, and you've just started to start your own firm. Tell the audience what your thoughts are and what extra advantages customers can have by dealing directly with the partner. Sole proprietor, essentially.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, once again, Carl, thank you so much for having me back on. It's always great to participate in this, and it's always an opportunity that I relish and cherish. So thank you again for bringing me on. But, yeah, so, you know, I launched Solidi back in January. I felt like the best thing for my clients was to start my own firm and really take advantage of kind of being able to be very flexible with my clients and having more control over a lot of the options that were available, as well as just kind of enhance the technology. You know, a lot of the financial planning software that I'm using today is some of the top-notch financial planning software that allows me to really get more in-depth with my clients and allow them to really get a more the most accurate picture as possible, not just from an investments perspective, but also from a cash flow perspective, insurance perspective, long-term care perspective, really take a look at the holistic picture more than anything else. So it's been a great start so far. You know, we're 6 months in, and it's been a wonderful opportunity, and I'm glad that we are here today.
Yeah, that's exciting. I noticed you mentioned a whole spectrum of products, not only, you know, financial planning assets and so forth, but insurance and long-term care, because I know that's an important subject for many of my listeners. Tell us a little bit about the long-term care options. I don't mean to skip further ahead, because you and I always talk about different age groups and what they might do.
Yep.
But long-term care, I think, as the overall population grows, has become a much more important subject. And as healthcare becomes so expensive, it's super important.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think that's one of the things, you know, there's several ways to address long-term care. And it depends on the current situation that you're in. You know, if you are a very affluent individual, you know, it might make the most sense to care for it yourself, to basically self-fund. So if you have enough assets and just making sure and really stress testing your portfolio and stress testing your plan to say, hey, if we expect long-term care to be, the national average is around $60,000 to $70,000 per year. So if we take that average, if you go into a long-term care facility for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, how does that impact your overall financial plan? If it does at all, then we then look at specific products. You know, the two most popular products are the traditional long-term care policies. So those are policies that are just pure long-term care. If you use it because you go into a long-term care facility, you're really glad that you have it. But if you don't use it, then you've paid a lot, and it's kind of like car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have, but you hope to never use it. Because
mm-hmm.
the only reason why you're using car insurance is if you got into an accident or something happened to the car or anything like that. And then really the other product that we look at would be a universal life product. that that has a long-term care rider. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit more complex of a product, and it's something that allows you to pay into a specific life insurance policy. And if at the end of the day you need the long-term care, then you're able to initiate that rider and put it forward towards that specific long-term care, whether you whichever type of long-term care facility that you're in. But if you end up not using it, you have a smaller death benefit that will then go to your heir. So really each situation is unique, and there's nuances to each of those different programs. And so just making sure that there's no one size fits all type of solution for people. So it's the financial plan really allows us to kind of back in to what is best for them and take it from there.
You know, I have a question about universal life. Am I correct in understanding that it's a series of term policies that are sewn together? That's not much of a financial term, but in other words, you know, a 7 year and a 7 year and a 7 year. I don't know what the terms are, so that if you keep it too long, do they become, the premiums become very expensive down the line? Or, in other words, it starts off inexpensive, and then, or do you want to overfund them to make sure that you have the excess cash to meet any need?
Yeah. So you're actually describing a universal life policy pretty dead on, just because the uniqueness about a universal life is its flexibility. So you have a way to either pay a specific premium up to a certain age through life, or you can front load it. That's what's great about a universal life policy, is that you are able to be flexible with the premium. Just the one thing to keep in mind as you're dealing with any insurance product is to, one, speak with an insurance professional, because you know, that is the most important, to get into the right type of policy. But secondarily, it's also just to understand kind of the payoffs between the premium and the actual policy that you're receiving. Mm-hmm. So if you lower your premium, that will probably also lower your overall benefits, higher premium, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's one of the things to keep in mind, is what's great about a universal life policy is that you're able to maintain that flexibility, but you want to make sure you fully understand what the end result is and what the total policy is meant to do, whether it's a 10 premium policy, a single premium policy, or something that's along those lines. So making sure that you as the consumer are fully understanding what the implications are based off of what the premium is.
When does somebody decide to take a whole life policy, for instance? Maybe you could explain that to us.
Yeah, so a whole life policy is a little bit more unique. Everyone has their own different opinions on specific life insurance products. My specific opinion is more around that whole life policies should be used for really estate planning purposes more than anything else. If you have a very large estate, and you know, right now the estate tax exemption is around, I think it's around between 24 and 26. It goes up every single year if you're a married individual or married couple. And so if you have an estate that's above that threshold, so obviously you have to, it's a much smaller part of the population, then a whole life policy could make a lot of sense, just because you have that extra protection, so that way when you do pass away and you give money to your heirs, you have a way of having that pay for your estate tax. Another way, as opposed to just a whole life policy that's a little bit cheaper, is what's called a GUL, Guaranteed Universal Life, where the premium tends to be a little bit less, but you don't have the cash value. Really, the benefit of a whole life policy is the cash value. Mm-hmm. But my personal belief is you have investments and you have insurance, and it's good to keep them separate. And so you want to, when you're looking at a life insurance policy, to see it purely as the insurance benefit more than anything else.
And it's just because, you know, I don't know about this, and I hear different opinions and different can you use a whole life also for long-term care? Don't they have long-term care riders as well? In other words, you could, if you took a smaller one, it could be used as a loan, and that ultimately you don't have to, you can stop making a premium payment, say after a dozen years or so.
Yeah. So there are some that are similar to that. I think that what you're more talking about is when you contribute to a whole life policy, you start accumulating what's called a cash value.
Yes.
To it. And you would be able to take out that cash value in order to pay for long-term care. To my understanding, and I'm not an insurance expert, so I'm not the forefront best person to speak on this issue, so I could be wrong, so a little caveat with that, with this next statement.
Sure.
But I don't think that there's a specific rider for whole life. For long-term care, the only rider that I have heard of thus far is for a universal life with a long-term care rider. Doesn't mean it's not out there, it's just I have not heard of it quite.
Sure, I get it. Yeah, and that brings into the question is, the earlier you do something with a long-term care policy, the better off it is. Your premium is going to be lower, and you'll get greater benefit later, as opposed to, oops, I'm getting old now, I better, what do I do about a long-term care policy?
Yeah.
That can be more expensive, no?
That is correct. You know, the long-term care, just the pure long-term care insurance is unique in the fact that, you know, the sweet spot for a lot of our clients is in their, call it mid-50s, is about the time where you want to get long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when you start paying, when you're, if you start, what you said is generally true for life insurance typically. So the earlier you get your life insurance, the cheaper it's going to be because of the less likelihood that you will pass away or
mm-hmm.
When you're younger. And so, you know, getting into a 30-year term at 25 is going to be significantly cheaper than getting in a 30-year term at 55 because of the chances of you passing away between 25 and 50 are significantly less than passing away between 55 to 85. And
right.
So from life insurance perspective, you are correct. From a long-term care insurance, you kind of want to balance that. At what point are you paying too much premium to actually before you actually need the insurance? And so that's why around, I would say, mid-50s is kind of that sweet spot for getting long-term care insurance if it's just the pure insurance. However, again, going back to what we were talking about, if you got something that's more of like a universal life policy that has a long-term care rider, you are correct, and the earlier that you get it, the better. But again, it's better to look at your overall financial plan and be more prescriptive
mm-hmm.
when it comes to long-term care rather than just pushing a specific product.
Yes. No, because I know long-term care can be enormously expensive. And when we talk national averages, that's including, you know, North Dakota and
yeah.
California and Florida. You know, it's completely different places, too. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty scary high here in California.
Yeah, especially it is. I spoke about the national average.
Of course.
$60,000 to $70,000. But I've anecdotally heard of people putting in their relatives or their parents in a long-term care facilities in California, in Los Angeles specifically, and it being $100,000 plus a year. So,
right.
You know, the other thing to keep in mind when you're looking at long-term care insurance is what are you going to be doing with the overall assets? So if it's something that you are going to utilize the house in any way, if you're planning on selling the house, any of that type of stuff, not typically recommended because if they've been in the house for a long period of time, more than likely there would be a big capital gains tax if you sold the house to pay for long-term care insurance. And then the other thing is people forget that you'll also be receiving Social Security for when you're in retirement or at that age typically when you need long-term care. And so kind of supplementing the long-term care insurance with the Social Security to get the entire benefit to figure out on top of the, if you do have a home, the expenses and anything like that. But just, again, more like I said, looking at the more holistic picture rather than just what the specific policy is getting for you.
You know, and it's funny you bring up the value of a house because when people have, so there's a whole spectrum, again, of people who use reverse mortgages, which is my specialty. And I've run into several examples where some people were managed by a financial planner and they had money, but it was going to be more expensive than they thought. So they took a line of credit out on their home with a reverse mortgage so they didn't have to sell it. Not only the tax consequences, but they didn't want to move. They wanted to stay in their home. So they had long-term nursing care, or the, for instance, the case I'm thinking of specifically, a woman's, her husband was, looked like he was going to go into a long-term care facility, but she was going to stay in the home so she could take out the monthly necessary amounts of money to cover while keeping the portfolio intact and let it grow. So it's sort of a sequence of returns that a financial planner would want to get involved in, has been my experience.
100%. And Carl, maybe you, because I know that you and I were working on a client just recently about the specificities of when you can use a reverse mortgage for long-term care versus when you can't. Maybe you want to go into a little bit more as to situations where you can versus can't.
Well, you can use the money for whatever you want, but you're not eligible until 62 years old to get the HECM, which is the home equity capture mortgage from FHA, that FHA insures. It's a HUD product, essentially. And there are private lines of credit. As a matter of fact, I'm making a proposal to one now that you can go as low as 55 years old. The thing, when you get into private, it's a different set of rules. The private, they mandate that you take 25% of the line of credit out now, like when you fund the loan. Whereas on the HECM loan, what makes that so great is if you do it at a younger age, it grows every year, the unused portion. And so it can grow. So there's an example that, you know, Wade Fowle, who I brought up to you before, he gives an example of somebody doing it in their low to mid-60s when they really didn't need the line of credit so much. And when it was needed, maybe in her mid-80s, it had grown from $100,000 to $350,000. So there's $350,000 available to use monthly or at your discretion. So they're not so picky. The only pickiness of it is your first year, there's a restricted amount of money you can take out, and that's to keep it from being drained year one. So it just they tap the brakes the first year, and then you can decide what to do with it.
And I think one of the other implications, and I would love for you to talk about this a little bit more, is I know there's different types of long-term care. So there's, for instance, hospice or kind of the late stage, but there's also nursing facilities that come to you versus going into a specific home. Mm-hmm. At what point are you, in what situations are you able to use a reverse versus when you're not able to use a reverse?
Well, as long as someone's in the property who was on the loan originally. So the example I gave you was a husband and wife, and if the husband looks like he might be becoming infirm and have to move out of the house, but as long as she's there, you must remain in the house. So one of the two borrowers must remain in the house.
Yeah.
And you can use it under any circumstances, which is why they put the brakes on it on the first year, because they don't want people just draining it and saying, oops. And, you know, there's an example. I had a client just recently who closed, and the reason I like to have people with a financial planner is so we can make a team effort, and I want the kids involved, and I want the financial planner involved. I'd love, CPA involved if necessary. But I was notified of this borrower who, from the power of attorney's son, who was coming to me as a loan of last resort. And they're in the woman was in Thousand Palms living at home. She needed 24-hour work nursing care, and it was costing them $10,000 a month, and they were literally running out of money. So the line of credit just came in. Literally, we funded it the week they were running out of money.
Wow.
So that was, and it was touch and go, too, because they're in a flood zone, and it was a manufactured home. And so those are side issues. But did I sort of answer your question about
definitely.
You can use it for anything, but that's why I want to make sure that financial planners are involved. Because, for instance, one of the things Wade Fowle talked about was in that example where there was a 30-year time frame, I think he even used from 62 to 92, he said if you adjust one of the downturns in the stock market, instead of drawing off your portfolio, drew off the line of credit, it expanded the years of the line of credit by, in one case, 10 years, in another case, 20 years. And if you did all three downturns, like I believe there were 74, 75, maybe 70, 74, and 75. These are 1974 and 75. They expanded. It went from, it would have at 30 years been zero if you didn't do it. If you did those three years, after 30 years, it was worth $2.2 million. So it's just, that's why it's so important to use financial planners in all of this.
Definitely.
So I've been just signaled by my engineer, Jay, that we're going to take a little break. Can you come back with us?
Yes, of course. I'd love to.
That's great. So we're talking to David Tassone, Solidi Wealth Advisors. And can you give the phone number your best to be reached at, David?
Yes. The best phone number to reach me is 424-321-7013.
Perfect. And how do you like your email as well to be used?
Yeah, so it's my name. So it's D as in David, Tassone, T as in Tom, A-S-S-O-N-E, at Solidi Wealth. That's spelled S-O-L-I-D-I, wealth.com.
Perfect. Great. So we will see you in a matter of moments. Everybody hang on. We're in this very informative discussion. Be right back.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors. And we are having a gripping discussion with David Tassone about long-term health insurance and the various tools that can be used. He's from Solidi Wealth Advisors, and he's back with us. He's been a guest multiple times. And welcome back, David.
Thank you so much for having me back, Carl.
Okay. So we've covered the difference from whole life and universal life coverage and how you can use long-term care possibly with those and how reverse mortgages can get woven in at different times. And I've mentioned to you that, you know, reverse mortgages are like a monkey wrench, meaning it's a tool in your toolbox. It's not to be used. You can't hammer with it very well and can't Phillips head screws in with it very well. But when you need it, it can stop leaks so to speak. So there's so many tools, and that's why I believe people need a financial advisor to help them along. When starting, I know if you had a magic wand, you would love people to come to you just as they're building their career, as they're accumulating assets, so you can guide them along the way. Would that be true? I mean, there's different phases of people's lives. Tell us about some of the experiences you've had that I just made an assumption that you and I haven't talked about, but I assumed you would want people to start earlier than later.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks for giving me this platform to talk about this. Yeah, so, you know, I love to, the people that I work with the most, I tend to be the business owners. I call it business owners at the onset and at the exit. So I love to transform. The tagline that I use is I transform Henrys into high net worth individuals and high net worth individuals into FIRES. Mm-hmm. And those acronyms are high earners not rich yet, and then FIRES is financially independent retirees. So those are the two people, the thing that I'm always working for is peace of mind. So whether you're just starting off with your plan, you know, you have your own business, you just bought your first home, you don't know which direction is up, you just need kind of that person to guide you from a financial perspective. I've got a platform that allows people to really get an understanding as to what they need to do in order to become that high net worth individual that everyone wants to become. And then once you're at that point where you are that high net worth individual, you're about to have a business exit or you're about to retire and you're not sure, hey, the money this private equity firm's given me is going to be enough to get me to and through retirement, or I've saved in my 401k for the last 40 plus years. Am I able to retire and have that peace of mind of knowing that I can become that financially independent retiree? That's one of the powers of the financial plan is we use the Monte Carlo analysis. So that way, instead of just using a Excel spreadsheet where if everything happens this one specific way, you'll be successful. It creates 500 different iterations of if the market crashes like in 2022, right when you retire, if the market goes up and has the most optimistic scenario, what's the probability of success? And so those are the things, those are the people that I love working with, is the people who are looking for that peace of mind to become that financially independent retiree.
Yes, because, you know, there's an expression I like to live by, do what you do best and delegate the rest. So
exactly.
If somebody's making widgets and is really a great salesman and he's gotten into the aerospace companies and he's, you know, making money hand over fist, he's not sitting around staring at his portfolio, hopefully,
yeah.
Learning what the best, he's taking into account beta factors and diversification. And he knows he should have diversification, but that's why you're hired.
Yep.
So that all you're doing all day is staring at opportunities for clients. You've been trained at it, and as a certified financial planner, I know, you know, I've been on the board of, you know, FPALA, although I'm not a certified financial planner. One of the lobbying points that the organization does is to really distinguish between someone who calls themselves a, quote, financial planner and someone who's a CFP like you are. So you were highly trained in that regard, and maybe explain the difference there for people.
Between a financial planner and CFP?
Yeah, people calling themselves a financial planner and now becoming a CFP, because that takes 3 years of... No, tell me. Tell me more.
Yeah, so in order to get your CFP, you have to take a specific number of courses in order to have the fundamental level of education for in order to sit for the CFP exam. And then once you've passed the pretty rigorous exam, you know, I like to... The phrase that people always say is you're either an inch wide, mile deep, or mile wide, inch deep. I like to think of the CFP as kind of a half mile wide, half mile deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know a lot about a lot of different things to make yourself dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, we look at what I call the six pillars of financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
Investments, insurance, retirement planning, cash flow management, tax planning, and estate planning. You know, we were just talking about insurance. Dangerous enough in insurance, but I always like to lean on insurance professionals for the end results. Same with tax planning. I know enough about taxes, but I don't know enough to file your taxes. And so I make sure to delegate and and send you to the right tax professional or send my clients to the right tax professionals and that. So that's the thing with the CFP is that you kind of have that baseline level of understanding as to where to go and what resources are available to you. So that's the main thing with being a CFP. And then, you know, that's one of the things that the FPA is working on now is the title protection of financial planner. Because mm-hmm. what is happening out in the industry is people are calling themselves financial planners when they're pushing products or they're looking to sell a specific thing as opposed to building out a plan and really having that fundamental education. So there's still a lot of, it's still up for debate as to how, as to what the credentials of being able to call yourself a financial planner, but the thing that National has always been talking about is similar to how you can't call yourself an accountant without a CPA or EA, can't call yourself a doctor without a without an MD or something like a PhD along those lines. They're thinking about potentially making the CFP the same thing, where you can't call yourself a financial planner without a CFP. So that's one of the things that that the FPA National is actually working on right now from an advocacy perspective.
Yeah, and that's the Financial Planners Association, right? And so you're really, the consumer has to be educated. So for me, title protection, which is, you know, code for, you know, protecting the title of being called a financial planner. If you say CFP after it, that would be my first question. It's sort of like people, who you can prepare someone's taxes, but you're called a tax preparer. Now, if someone's a CPA, then I know they're a certified public accountant.
And, yeah, exactly.
And that's really important, I think. So
yeah, and that's actually that's one of the reasons why I ended up getting my MBA over at USC. I just last year wrapped up, just because one of the things that I wanted to emphasize in with my career was in the portfolio management side of things. And so that's why, you know, like I said, the CFP provides that baseline education, but to kind of go a little bit deeper, I wanted to have that extra value add for my clients. So I got my MBA over at USC with an emphasis in portfolio management. So that way I was able to do some additional research and additional case studies and all the great stuff that comes with a USC education to be a better portfolio manager for my clients.
Yes,
as well.
I 100% agree. Yeah, I think it's just fascinating, portfolio management for me. I actually, funny, took a bunch of courses in my graduate studies in portfolio management because it's just a personal interest. It's so fascinating why some people do better than others and beta factors and how, in other words, the risk analysis and what is diversification and when is it, you know, actually. So you can explain that later. You know, I've been given the signal again for a little break. Can you come back for another 10 minutes or
of
so?
Of course. Looking forward to it.
Okay. David, hold on. I'm with David Tassone, Solidi Wealth Advisors. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. We'll be right back with you.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with David Tassone, a CFP from Solidi Wealth Advisors. He's back with us. He's been here multiple times. And we were talking about actually credentials and who you should look for a financial planner. I recommend that you go to David, and we'll give you his contact information in a moment or two. But David, you were saying that one of the reasons you went back, because you not only before you get your CFP, you have to get a Series 7, and what are those other ladders you were climbing before you got your CFP?
Yeah, so I got my Series 65 in order to get securities license and to be able to transact for other individuals, basically become a financial professional. And then after that, got my health and life insurance license. So I would be able to make the recommendations and get that in order to consult on insurance for our financial planning purposes. Ended up getting my CFP back in 2019. It started in 2017. 2019 from UCLA through the UCLA Extension Program. It's a great program if you're looking to get your CFP education lined up. And then during the pandemic, was sitting around and wanted to get a little bit more emphasis on the portfolio management piece because that's really where I wanted to build my business and build my practice and really hone in on my emphasis. So got my MBA from USC, with an emphasis in portfolio management and, backtracking a little bit, also got my bachelor's degree in finance and economics from LMU. So, was 3 for 3 in the major LA universities.
Yeah, that's true. You covered everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But depending on who I'm talking to, I'm either a Lion, a Bruin, or a Trojan.
We'll right, exactly right. That's so funny. Yeah, yeah. And then you want to play it neutral sometimes, you know.
Yep.
You want. So, you know, it's and now since we're talking about Southern California, and I gave the example of Thousand Palms, where somebody was paying $10,000 a month, and that was in home care.
Yeah.
It really is top of mind these days. So I have a very dear friend of mine, Julie, whose mother just died in Florida, and they were, they were spending like $15,000 a month. No, that was a bit on the higher scale of nursing care, but still. I'm not sure how much they could have pushed that number down, and they had long-term care, but it was only $6,500 a month, so it wasn't even covering half of the bill. So it's top of mind for people. We all hope we pass in our sleep. I've seen a couple good examples of that. That sounds like a good way to go for me, but I don't think you get to vote. So we want to plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Exactly.
So I guess back on the so when you were talking about Henry versus, I think I had interrupted you and taken you off course. So let's say there's a fellow in his mid-40s or a gal in her mid-40s, and you know they finally got the inertia going in their business that they built from scratch, and that would be almost ideal as well, because assuming that they did something, at least bought some stock or some. If some management, you can go in and really create a great financial plan for them. And you're very familiar with life expectancy, I presume. And how does that all work when somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me. No, definitely. And I think that's something to, you know, a professional who's in their early 40s or 50s who's trying to figure out specifically where to go and how to save, what vehicles to save in. That's one of the great things with a financial planner or CFP professional is the fact that you have the as a CFP you tend to be kind of the quarterback for your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So just today I was having a conversation with one of my clients CPAs to figure out, hey, we want to set up a retirement plan for this individual. What makes the most sense? A SEP, individual 401k for them. You know, if they're in a situation in which they tend to be a little bit older, have a lot of income and have the ability to save, is something like a cash balance plan or defined benefit plan available to you? These are the things, especially as business owners, give you the most flexibility because of the fact that you are not just subject to your retirement plan and 401k that your company provides or anything like that. You have kind of the flexibility to figure out what am I able to contribute and how am I able to contribute, and kind of take it from there. And then from a financial planning perspective, put that into the plan and say, okay, if I max out my 401k, do all this type of stuff, do all these things to get my probability of success, the threshold that I use is above 90%, basically get an A on your financial plan.
Above 90% of what does that number represent?
Probability of success. So
that's
the Monte Carlo analysis that I was talking about earlier. We've got about 500 different iterations as opposed to just a one-time Excel sheet where if everything happens exactly this way, then it's perfect. More of running a statistical model to check out your probability of success.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, that allows you to see what is best for you from an overall planning perspective. But and this is the thing that I one of the reasons why I love working with people for three generations as opposed to just for a one-time plan. It's one thing to make a plan, it's another thing to execute on a plan. You know, if we say, hey, your plan is successful if you max out your 401k, you add a profit sharing component, and then you save an additional, call it $500 a month towards your kid's 529, for example, it's great to put that on paper, but if you don't actually execute it, you'll look back in 10 years and say, oh, I remember talking about this, but I never did it. So the part of the financial plan that I think is the most important is not just building it out, but also executing on it all the way through. And so that's what a CFP professional does, is they don't just build the plan, they help execute it as well.
And also, isn't there's different vehicles. For instance, there's a 401k, like you mentioned. Let's say you're self-employed and you have your own company. You could have an option of a 401k, or you could have a pension, which you can play catch-up, can't you, for our older clients listening? In other words, you can double after a certain age. Aren't you allowed to put more in than you would have normally put it allowed?
Yes, exactly. So you have defined benefit plans, you have cash balance plans, you have different types of retirement plans that are available to you. And if you work with a TPA or a third-party administrator and an actuary who helps figure out, hey, okay, you're a business owner in your 50s and you want to save $250,000 a year in a tax-deferred vehicle, how do you make sure that you're maxing out the highest probability for yourself, but then also giving if you have other employees, you're helping them out, but not completely taking away everything from you. So really, that's, again, like I said, you're the quarterback for your clients. You are the person who's connecting them with the right tax professional, with the right TPA, estate planning attorney, insurance professional to execute and work through the entire financial plan to find out what's best for them and really act as that fiduciary for them.
Yes, and that's so critical. That I think that's sort of a great way to end here, because that's the purpose of a financial planner. That's why when I do my loans, I almost, you know, make an annoyance out of myself to get a financial planner involved, because you and I dealt with a client, and that person was going to be perfectly happy to just keep drawing off the portfolio, even after we eliminated her mortgage payment with a reverse mortgage and had a line of credit, and you were able to supply some guidance. And not only did you supply guidance for her assets that she had, which I'm so glad you did, because when the market's gone up, she's benefited, but you, by looking at her situation, said, well, wait a minute, I think you're entitled to another $1,000 a month in Social Security.
Yep.
So that's so critical. So, anyway, so David Tassoni, CFP, Solidi Wealth Advisors, give us that number again we can reach you at.
Definitely. It's 424-321-7013.
And it's D. Tassoni at SolidiWealth.com, right? That's D
that
as in David, T as in Tom, A-S-S, two S's, O-N-E, at Solidi, S-O-L-I-D-I, wealth.com.
Exactly. Solid with an I.
Yes. Oh, that's a great idea. That's great. So thank you. I appreciate it, David.
One more segment.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carl. I always appreciate jumping on this, and thank you so much for having me today.
Great. And anybody reach out to David, and I think you'd be in great hands. Anyway, we're going to go on a break here. Thanks so much, David. And we'll look forward to you next time. This isn't the last time.
Awesome. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Take care.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. I didn't give my contact information last time, but it's 310-612-0124, or my email is carl@thereversemtg.com. MTG is short for mortgage. So carl@thereversemtg.com, or my website, www.thereversemtg.com. So I've been asked in the past, you know, mortgages, these reverse mortgages can be complex. So instead of going through the nuances and make your eyes glaze over, I thought I would give little examples that have happened, one of which we talked about with our client, or my last guest, David Tassoni. We had a client. I actually had a client, and I called David in because it was important. She's a widow. Relatively young, I believe 64 years old, and she was slowly using a limited portfolio she had that wasn't going to last for much longer, more than a couple of years, to live off of. And she had a small mortgage on there under $300,000, and she was filling rooms with boarders to help pay the bills, as well as having a job. So yikes, she had all this financial pressure put on her. Fortunately, she was in good health, but there were some home repairs that were needed. So we came in, I gave a reverse mortgage. So now the first trustee mortgage she had went to no payments. So she still had a mortgage, but with no payments. The interest just accrues on a reverse mortgage. And you can make a payment if you truly want to. Secondly, she got a line of credit. So, and since she didn't, it was approximately $100,000, and since she didn't need all of it, any amount she didn't use would expand. So take, that's something we need to pause on. So let's say you have a $100,000 line of credit. The next year, it's going to, and if the loan was approximately 7%, it would be $107,000 the next year. And you heard that right. So in other words, how did it got bigger? Why is that happening? I couldn't figure that out when I initially, when the product was first brought into being. And it turns out the FHA, the Federal Housing Authority, wanted this growth provision to be in order to keep people from refinancing repeatedly if they needed more money, and encourage the borrower not to use the money. So the longer you didn't use your line of credit, there'd be more available down the road. So what's happened to this gal, she didn't have a payment. So as a result, all the boarders left the house, and she only had one room because she had a long-term lease, didn't even actually need him anymore. She stopped cannibalizing the portfolio because we brought David Tassoni in, and he discovered that she was entitled to another $1,000 a month. So that was during a time right as the market was starting to decline in 2022. So no more money was withdrawn out of the portfolio. And lo and behold, as we know, 2023 and 2024, the market's gone up significantly. So by not touching the portfolio, it's gone up, and she's wealthier as a result of it. She has all her bills covered, and she did take a small portion off the line of credit in order to do some home improvements. So it was a home run out of the park for that borrower. I brought up another instance in our last call that where I was called in as the lender of last resort. In other words, they were literally running out of money, and they just had a couple months left on the portfolio before, yikes, the son, who is an adult, by the way, a senior citizen himself, actually, but his mother was 90-some-odd years old, and they had to pay for the long-term care. Unfortunately, she had dementia, so they needed three shifts, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And when we funded the loan, they were really down to their last pennies, and fortunately it saved the day. There was no mortgage on the property, by the way, at the time. So the line of credit was, I think, if you extrapolate out the costs, was going to last another 5 years. Well, it turned out, regretfully, within 6 months she had passed away, but it took enormous financial burden off the rest of the family because everybody was going to have to reach into their own pockets, which these aren't wealthy people. I had another, there's so many examples. I have an example here in front of me. We call them the Myers. If that's not their real name, their people would change. So David and Michelle, they met later in life. Both were divorcees and they'd grown children. And Michelle was an interior designer, and something that became quickly evident when walking into their quaint home, clearly, because she had such good taste. David was a truck driver and loved to tell stories about the Americas he had seen over the years. Michelle continued to do her interior design work and also enjoyed volunteering. She liked to visit her son and her daughter's families, which many of you can relate to. You know, in our senior years, that's going to be part of our joys. I am a senior. I don't know why I'm acting like it's sometime in the future. Both of their kids lived out of state. David's children lived nearby. I misstated that. Both of Michelle's children lived out of state. David's lived nearby. And he loved, of course, spending time with his grandchildren. Now, at ages 71 and 66, the Myers were a few years into retirement when their furnace went out, costing them several thousand dollars to replace. The bad storm also caused damage on the roof. While insurance covered the roof, they still had to pay a large deductible. These unexpected expenses caused the Myers to tighten their budget. And they're still doing okay, but it made them consider what they're going to do if anything else happened. They believed they would cross that bridge when they came to it. Then something exciting happened. David's cousin reached out to him and invited him to attend a family reunion. The first in a decade, it turned out. They had really wanted to attend, but their limited budget, they didn't know how they could because he was far away. Michelle felt the reunion was important, as it would likely be the last time there'd be certain family members, to see certain family members. She wanted a vacation also. Well, they eventually got there and they sat down together and looked at they got their budget, and David reluctantly brought up the idea of a reverse mortgage. And Michelle said she didn't know much about it and was open to it. David and Michelle met with a reverse mortgage planner who explained the process, and he answered all their questions. And they were surprised to see the changes in the reverse mortgage that were made over the years. And as a result, they realized this just completely changed their future for the various surprises that could or couldn't come. Because in this example, I'm reading from a friend of mine's book he wrote, where he gave example after example after example. You know, surprises catch us, and that bit goes back to David's comment about the Monte Carlo theory, that you know, if things go well, you could score high in the Monte Carlo. If things go bad, so it's basically a stress test. And what they were experiencing, David and Michelle, is the stress test wasn't working out for them. There were roofs, and there was various, you know, they were basically going to be captives in their own home because they couldn't go out and visit relatives. So anyway, with the reverse, they were able to pay off their mortgage and have no mortgage payment and have a line of credit down the road. So that's just a couple examples. And I really love these sessions we have together because I get a chance to explain the various products we have and bring in financial planners and how they can help seniors and how I hope I can help seniors. So let me give my contact information. I'm Carl Walsh, and my number is 310-612-0124. And it's carl@thereversemtg.com. M as in Mary, T as in Tom, G.com. So take care out there, and we'll see you next time. Best wishes. Adios.